Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Saturdays podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
I'd like the body to look around at those people and gather around them. We're just going to begin to pray over their bodies. Trying to get well, but we were healed 2,000 years ago when Jesus defeated death. We declare health and healing on all our flesh. Jesus, 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 sing Jesus, Jesus. So Father, we thank you. We're so grateful for what you're doing. We're so grateful for what you will do. We're so grateful for what you've done. We thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. That moved us from being separated from you into communion with you. We're grateful for the sacrifice of Jesus. That we once were lost, but now we're found. Lord, I pray that you would help us walk in everything that Jesus purchased for us. Jesus, 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 declare there is healing.
There is healing in the name, healing in the name, healing in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name, healing in the name, healing in the name of Jesus. I'll sing Jesus.
song that only you can sing. Pray in the Spirit, pray with your understanding. Just lift your voices before the Lord. Divine connections and right relationships that bring them into you. That words that were spoken over them and to them years ago about you and your kingdom would be brought to their remembrance. We pray for divine appointments for every person on the earth. From the most powerful leaders to the poor and oppressed. Lord, we are open to us being the one who shares. We want to be your hands and feet. We want to be your voice on the earth. So we pray that as this week Easter approaches, you would open up doors for us to share you with those who haven't heard. And that we would have the boldness to speak the truth, to not shrink back. The answer to it all, Jesus, you're the answer to it all. We make a miracle work. light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
I feel like there's one more thing on the heart of God. And I feel like we can join as a community of intercessors and pray for each other. And it's this, it's that He has a heart for our children. Some of us have children that have walked away from Him. And I feel like He's saying that as we gather this Easter, His Spirit will be at work among them.
Hallelujah.
That it'll be so easy for us to embrace them and bring them back. So Father, we pray for dreams and visions for our children. We pray that your Spirit would engage them, that would remind them of the Word of God that they've already heard, about the encounters that they've already had with you. And as they're confronted with their humanity this Easter, they'll remember your goodness. And that you'll give us the words to say and help them know.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Let's just declare it out among the people that don't know Him. We're just going to sing it a few more times as an invitation.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Come see who He is.
He is the way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who He is. He is the way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who He is. He's the answer to it all. 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 He'll wipe away your tears. He'll heal your broken heart. He's the answer to it all, Jesus. Wipe away the tears and heal the broken heart. He's the answer to it all, Jesus.
So Father, we thank You for what You're going to do in our lives, even in the very next week. We have an expectation of Your moving. Just thank You. Thank You, Father.
It came to me that even if you don't have children, you might have neighbors, you might have nieces or nephews, you might have strangers that come to your home and sit with you. They are your children as well.
Yes.
And God's working in those areas.
Amen. Matt, one other thing. While you were praying, I don't remember how long it's been. You all know I had an accident a few months back. And since that time, his shoulder has been affected. Probably the doctors would say I never got it checked out, but probably the doctors would say I tore a rotator cuff. Oh. And so since that time, I haven't been able to lift up my arm.
What?
Woo! Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, go ahead.
I feel the Lord wants you to talk about being led by the Spirit of God.
Okay.
And he wants you to know, he wants you to say, get prepared. Go when he tells you.
Amen.
I mean, I go to, rather to prisons and mental hospitals, to go when he tells you.
Amen.
I don't know who the word is for somebody's.
For everybody, yeah.
What an exciting time, huh?
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for braving the weather. We were started this morning being grateful it wasn't snow.
Yes.
Even though Dave would be shoveling for everyone.
No. Hallelujah!
Anyway, I just really felt led to linger at the end. Thanks for hanging in there. You guys are awesome. We have been kind of, in the new season that we're in, we've been coming more in the balance of bringing up the level of musicianship and still keeping the level of being led by the Spirit. And that's been a kind of a juggling act. Bob and I, and I'm going to forward it to Blaine so we can talk about it more. I've listened to a podcast about that. And it's just a journey because it's so easy to slip into making the song sound amazing and having to keep it one way. And you have to find those paths out there in the Spirit. And so it's just been a journey for us to be guarded, not to become performers. So we are going to be intentional to leave some more space. Great, now we're accountable to everybody. But that's just where we're at. When you have guys that can make awesome sounds, we'll just have to keep... Yeah, I'm looking at you. We'll have to keep that guard up. So anyway, I felt really led... At the end of worship, that this next coming week is going to be amazing for a lot of people. Allow yourself to be expectant. You know, I started this week listening to a book about healing. And the crux of the book, or at least the first chapter, that's as far as I am, is if you don't pray for people, they're not going to get healed. Amen. So let's keep that in mind. Let's be looking for opportunities. I mean, I'll say it. I prayed for a lady that considers herself... A witch, and she did not get healed, but somehow she was so blessed that I even prayed. So I mean, we're going to go there. We're going to believe God's moving in that. I'll continue to pray for her. But it was a lot of fun to have that come up. That was a few weeks back. Okay. So announcements. Wait, for praying for people, don't disqualify yourself. It's Jesus that does the healing. You just get to partner with him. He is more than able to do it. Next week, I'll read a list of people in the Bible who shouldn't have been able to do what they were supposed to do based on what they had done in the past, if that makes sense. All right, announcements. Tuesday nights at 8 p.m., we have an online Bible study. If you need more information about that, you can reach out via email, or you can go over and talk to him after church, to Bob, B-O-B, at dwellatthewell.com. The Zoom ID is 869-3414-4657. If you're frantically writing over there, there's these little pamphlets that have announcements and song lyrics in them. Just a quick announcement about them. I don't need them back. So I know some of you guys give them back, put them back up on the counter. You can recycle them. You can make a paper airplane. You can write message notes on them and take them. You can save the songs and sing them at home. I know it's been a transition for us how to get the words into your hands. This is the best way for now, and we'll get there. All right, the Gap Ministry is currently collecting breakfast items and baking supplies for the Keystone Opportunity Center. These are all the items you see over here on the counter. Feel free to add to them. If you go on, if you are a person that is on that there Facebook, you can see all the great pictures. They were so grateful for the items we took. Last couple months we collected cleaning supplies. As a food pantry, food stamps do not purchase items like this. So we're trying to bridge that gap for people, allow them to have baking supplies. What's that?
My son said he has turned in the name and he's waiting for the store where they have extra stuff and all, let him know.
Oh, awesome. So we'll do that. Ladies are invited to gather for a tea party Wednesday, May 5th. This is confusing. May 5th at 6, not May 6th at 5. May 5th at 6. That's going to be here at the church. Ladies are invited. The ladies.
Mine, so, yeah.
What's that?
It's single to mine. So
yeah. Yeah. Maybe there'll be a party for that. Maybe. All right. So we're going to have bingo here Friday night, April 23rd. Just a time for us to hang out, get to know each other. There is a cost involved with that. The cost is $15. Those proceeds benefit Morningstar Crisis Pregnancy Center. If that $15 is a problem for anybody, secret handshake with me, a couple of winks, we'll work it out. You know, we'll work that out with you, and it won't be a big deal. You know, top secret stuff there. So before I invite Bob up, I'm going to remind you guys the offering is in the back. If you've brought something to give, I want to pray over that. I want to pray that the Lord multiplies that in your life. We're so grateful for everyone who financially partners with us as a church. And it's been a really good season of God providing enough. And we are moving into a season where we want to do more, to step out, to change the community. It's been really awesome with our elder team. We've set aside funds specifically for blessing people in the community. So we'll see what we're able to do with that. So if you brought something, just go ahead and hold it in your hand. I'm going to pray over it, and then you can just throw it in the basket anytime this morning. So, Father, we thank you for the ability to sow into what you're doing here. Lord, we thank you that you consistently provide everything we need. And we're so grateful, God, and we pray, Lord, for creativity to be released among your people to change this neighborhood, this town, with what you want to do. We thank you, God, for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you guys that are sewing in here. And just one other quick real pastor announcement. Next week is Easter. Easter is a time people are very open to coming to church. So if you feel like inviting someone, invite them. You don't have to. We won't look down on you if you don't. But if you're talking to somebody this week, you know somebody, feel free to invite them. All right, we're going to invite Bob up. I'm going to let Bob pray. So give it up for Bob.
Bobby. Might be the first person that did that here. My whole family calls me Bobby. Everybody. And it's just something that has always stuck. So it's tough when we go to family stuff, because my youngest son is named Bobby too. That's a little confusing. We're both like, what? Thought I was getting in trouble, but it wasn't me. So Father, I just thank you for this time, Lord, that we get to come with you and partner with you and just learn as your sons and daughters, Lord. We just thank you for your word. Yeah. Thank you for all that you do, things that we see, things that are unseen, Lord. We just are amazed by all that you do. Please anoint the speaker because he needs all the help that he can get. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so today's message is limitless. How many of us know that we serve a limitless God?
Amen.
Amen. So I want to talk a couple reasons, you know, how we can limit God in our lives, and then I want to talk about some testimonies from the Bible that kind of counter all of that. A little time ago, I had a conversation with a young man I know fairly well, who has issues, money issues, car issues, house issues, job issues, you know, all the normal stuff that young 21-year-olds usually have. And he was having a pretty bad day, and he made a comment to me. He said, "I don't know why your God is always doing this to me."
Yeah.
And I'm like, it took me back a little bit. And I just made one simple comment. I said, you know, what if it's the absence of God in your life? Mm-hmm. And that's why you're going through some of the things that you're going through. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much the end of the conversation. He didn't really have too much to say after that. But mm-hmm. it got me thinking when I was preparing for this message, you know, how I was before I started walking with the Lord, and even as a young Christian. And, you know, I was always a believer growing up. I didn't grow up in a house that we went to church every week. It was here and there. But I always believed for some reason. You know, it wasn't something that was instilled in me. I just believed that there was God, and I believed in Jesus. And I was the kind of Christian that every time I made a bad decision, I was getting in trouble for it. That's when I would go to him. So, you know, it just kind of, you know, that question and preparing for this kind of just brought that kind of stuff back. And early on when I was a Christian, I heard a lot of Christians use the word control. And I had an issue with that because, you know, now that I think, you know, I know a little better now, but the word control to me was always something that, you know, God was like a puppet master, and he was pulling our strings, and he was making us do all these things, whether it was sinning or whether it was bad decisions or whatever it is. And, you know, I just really thought, like, that's really not a good belief to have of God. And I think that's one of the biggest things that can really limit him in our lives, is when we have these misconceptions and or wrong beliefs of who he is. And I looked up the definition for control, and it's the power to influence or direct people's behavior or course of events. So it kind of, yeah, he does have that. I can give it to him, but he's not going to force it on me. And, you know, Pastor Matt touched on this a little bit last week in Acts 26:14. In the Passion Translation, it says, "We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice speaking to me in Aramaic, saying, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You are only hurting yourself when you resist your calling.'" And it tells you that you have the option to resist your calling or walk in your calling. And I think when we give God that control, that influence in our lives, and he will direct our lives, he will direct our paths. It says it, that he will direct our footsteps. And I just think there's a lot of misconceptions out there that people are just thinking that God is one thing when he's really just wants to love us. And he just really wants to draw us into him and show us what his plans are for us. And I think that was one of the biggest things early on for me was having that poor image of who God is and the wrong belief. And I think that limited him until I really started to press in, because I feel like if we think that he's in control to the point where this is what, you know, he's doing this on purpose, then we get to a place where, you know, we just look at our lives and say, well, this is it. This is all he has for me. And that's not true. And we know that that's not true, because he's always wanting to give abundantly in our lives. And he's not the cause, but he's the escape for everything that we go through. And let's see. You know, there's always more. He's always wanting to give more. The second thing is trust. We tend to be like Thomas in John 20:25. He says, "So the other disciples kept telling him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands, the marks of his nails, and put my finger in the nail prints and put my hand into his side, I will never believe.'" We kind of have become a society that we have to see it to believe it. We live by faith, but, you know, the society that we live in has to see it to believe it. And we trust that God loves us, but do we really trust that he will fulfill every word he speaks in our lives? The third reason if you're keeping notes, is we fear sacrifice. Sacrifice isn't bad. In Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16, it says that, "Through him, therefore, let us at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of the lips, that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. Do you neglect to do good, to contribute to the needy of the church as the expression of fellowship? For such sacrifices are always pleasing to God." Our praise is sacrifice. And if we praise him in all things, whether it's giving, whether it's teaching, whether it's loving someone, whenever we do things out of praise him, for him, it's a sacrifice. And that just, like, to me, that just kind of blows my mind, because that's joy. That's joy to me. Sacrifice, if that's what sacrifice is joy. You know, we see what God does in people's lives when we get to sow into their lives. And if that's a sacrifice, then I like to sacrifice every day. let's see where I was at. The definition of sacrifice is an act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. When we sacrifice, we are putting God first and others first. We fear God is going to ask us to do something we don't want to do, but when we step into that purpose, that expected end, we get to touch someone's life and give them Jesus. The fourth way that we can limit God is when we think it's better to do things our own ways, ourselves. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, that says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." When we think doing it on our own is the best way, we really are fooling ourselves. God wants us to invite him into all aspects of our lives. Even the most intimate places, he wants to be there and share in that. And he loves us so much that he just wants in. He just wants to be a part of it. The fifth way we live at God is we live by feelings. In 2 Corinthians 5, 7, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight, living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises." When we live by faith, we live in a place where we believe what God has spoken into our lives. That's where true life is. In that place of intimacy with God, that no matter what comes against us, he is there and wants to go through it with us. And the last place, before I talk about some of the testimonies in the Bible, is we don't have expectation. Jeremiah 29:11, we all know that. It says, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you." This is the King James. I'm doing the old version. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." And in the Hebrew, it says, in the Hebrew, says an end and exception. An end and an expectation. God says his thoughts toward us are to have an expected end. God has an expectation for our lives. And I think in return, we have an expectation that what he speaks into our lives, it's going to be accomplished. And that's in Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. "For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth, making it bear and sprout and providing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, useless, and without result, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter in which I sent it." What God speaks into our life has the power to accomplish what he spoke. We don't have to worry about the who, the why, where, when, or how. All we have to do is say yes. We have the power that God spoke into our lives to accomplish everything that He ever asks us to do. And Matthew 4:4. But Jesus replied, "It is written and forever remains written, man shall not eat or live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." Some versions say proceeds from the mouth of God. The word proceed in the Hebrew implies that it's continuously flowing from the mouth of God. That God's will is continually being spoken into our lives right now, yesterday, today, tomorrow, continually being spoken into our lives. And when something is accomplished, He just speaks more and more into existence in our lives. And all we have to do is grab hold of them and receive them and follow this will. So Matthew 17:19-20. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and asked, "Why can we not drive it out?" This is when the epileptic boy came and the disciples couldn't drive it out. He answered, "Because of the little faith, your lack of trust and confidence in the power of God. For I assure you and most solemnly say to you, if you have living faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible. When we say to a mountain to move, and it moves, it will set a fire on the inside of us to where our limits on God are gone, and the nothing will be impossible," and that nothing will be impossible, that part of the verse, "nothing will be impossible for you," will become a reality. We need to let that fire just lit and just keep pressing in. And I had listened to a message that Matt told me that was really good. The word in this, it says, "Your littleness of faith, your little faith." The word littleness isn't size; it's time. In the Hebrew or in the Greek language, it means time. You didn't spend enough time telling that mountain to move. That's littleness. It's not enough time. Keep pressing in, keep going after it, and the mountain will move, and that fire will be set, and nothing will be impossible for you. I think sometimes we doubt what God says. You know, those types of things, that doubt that we have. We doubt that He hears our prayers, and doubts that, He wants to walk with us. That'll limit God too. My notes here are all a little messed up. I had my wife kind of help me proofread, and I moved stuff around. I think I didn't move everything around. But so there's a few stories. There's a few stories that I want to go over in the Old Testament, the majority of it in Genesis. Chapter 15, verses 2 to 5. Abraham said, "Lord God, what reward will you give me since I am leaving this world?" I have the Amplified version, so yours might not say that. What reward will you give me since I am leaving this world childless? And he who will be the owner and heir of my house is this servant, Eliezer, from Damascus. And Abraham continued, "Since you have given no child to me, one, a servant born in my house, is my heir." Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but he who shall come from your own body shall be your heir." And the Lord brought Abraham outside his tent into the night and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." Then he said, "So numerous shall your descendants be." I don't know about you guys, but if I'm like 99, 100 years old, having kids is probably the last thing on my mind. But not Abraham. He just wanted to have that heir. to carry on, that one son to carry on his legacy. Only one, that's all he wanted. And he waited, and he waited on the Lord, and he did some dumb stuff. And, you know, instead of being patient on what God said, he wanted one son, and God said, I'll make your descendants the number of the stars. You know, so if we go back to a couple of things that I had mentioned that can limit God in your life, you know, Abraham thought it would be better to do it his way. And, you know, with having Ishmael. And but he never really had that misconception of who God is. He wasn't afraid of sacrifice. You know, he had been ready to sacrifice Isaac. God told him to sacrifice him. He was okay. It's, you know, this is what has to be done. But he definitely had some trust issues. Trusting that God's word was going to be accomplished. He did have some issues going through that, but it never stopped God from working in his life. It's, you know, just because we might limit it doesn't mean that God's not going to work. I think that sometimes that, you know, we seek God for maybe our immediate needs and maybe our immediate future, and he's wanting to give us the stars. So the next story I'd like to go into is 1 Samuel 17:26. We'll start there, start to the end. This is the story of David and Goliath. It says, verse 26, then David spoke to the man who were standing by him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace of his taunting from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he has taunted and defied the armies of the living God? You know, here's this little guy and all these soldiers ready to go into battle. And this little guy just, like, he's mad. He's mad. Like, who does this guy think he is coming against my God? All these soldiers are shaking and terrified. And he's just like, no, this isn't going to happen. Not on my watch, you know. And then we'll jump down to verse 32. He goes and he's talking to Saul at this time. And it says, Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight him, for you're only a young man, and he has been a warrior since his youth. You know, Saul is trying to talk him out of doing it. You know, maybe that could be one of the things that limit us too, is other people trying to talk us out of doing the things that God asks us to do. And he tries to put on Saul's armor. It doesn't fit. So he goes out with just his normal clothing on in front of this giant human being. And he's just mad. He has a sling and a few stones, and he's mad. In verse 37, David said, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and may the Lord be with you. And then we'll jump to 42. And it says, when the Philistine looked around and saw David, he derided and disparaged him because he was just a young man with a ruddy complexion and a handsome appearance. And then the rest of it is 47 or 45 to 47. And it says that, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. That's our weapon. The name of the Lord of hosts. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give you the corpses of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, so that all the earth that may know that there is a God in Israel, and that this entire assembly may know that the Lord does not save with just sword or with spear, but the battle is the Lord's. And he will hand you over to us. You know, if we had that heart into every situation that we would ever go into, that this battle is the Lord's, we live from victory. There is no limit to what comes against us that God can't handle. You know, the story of David, God chose David to destroy Goliath. Maybe God's chosen us to do something that we just think is way out of our league. And we can limit him there. But that was God's plan for him. A small young boy was so upset that this Philistine had the audacity to come against his God. David had no limits as to what God would do in him and through him. Now, I'm not sure David had any of the reasons that I had talked about earlier. He didn't have fear. He wasn't afraid to sacrifice himself. He trusted that God told him to do what he was doing, and he did it. And he saved this nation in the name of the God of Israel, and he did it totally limitless and fearless. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's just really encouraging to me. So we're going to jump into Acts right now. Acts 3, verses 1 through 10. This is... It's after the disciples have received the Holy Spirit. Just something a little bit different, you know, in the New Testament that shows the limitlessness of God. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, about 3 p.m. And a man who had been unable to walk from birth was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, so that he could beg alms for those entering the temple. So when Peter and John about to go to the temple, he began asking them for coins. And Peter, along with John, stared at him intently and said, "Look at us." And the man began to pay attention to them eagerly, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I will give to you. In the name, authority, power of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, begin now to walk and go on walking." Then he seized the man's right hand with a firm grip and raised him up. And at once his feet and ankles became strong and steady. And with a leap he stood up and began to walk. And when he went into the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God, all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the very man who usually sat begging for coins at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement and were mystified at what God had or what had happened to him. And we'll jump up to Acts 5, 14 to 16. It says, "More and more believers in the Lord, crowds of men and women, were constantly being added to their number to such an extent that they even carried their sick out into the streets and put them on cots and sleeping pads, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on them with healing power. And the people of the towns in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing the sick and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they're all being healed." And then Acts 19:11-12. "God was doing extraordinary and unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or face towels or aprons that had touched his skin were brought to the sick, and the diseases left them and the evil spirits came out." I believe that that's what happens when ordinary people like you and I take the limits off of God and let him reveal his power through us. You know, Peter and Paul, they knew God is completely trusted in Jesus. Or they knew who God is and completely trusted in Jesus. And the word he spoke over them and the commandments that he gave them. And they had the expectation that it was already done. That all they had to do was do it. They had the expectation that what he spoke into them was already accomplished. And, you know, of course we have to look at Jesus And you know, he's the perfect example of what it looks like to live with God without limits. It's really tough to even know where to start with the things that he did. You know, he raised the widow's son from the dead. He healed the paralyzed man, delivered men from Legion. He delivered that guy that was in the tombs, and it just goes on and on. And one of the most encouraging things to me is at the end of John chapter 21, verse 25, it says that there are so many other things which Jesus did, which if they were recorded one by one, I suppose even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. That's pretty amazing.
Yes.
That's really amazing, and it's such an encouragement. In John 1, Jesus replied, "Because I said to you that I saw you under a fig tree," he's talking to Nathaniel, "do you believe? You will see greater things than this." Then he said to him, "I assure you, and most solemnly say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man, the bridge between heaven and earth." You know, I believe that we were made to see greater things. We were made to be part of the greater things that Jesus spoke of.
Thank you, Lord.
He had absolutely no limits on what God was willing to do. He did it God's way and trusted in every word God spoke to him. He sacrificed himself and knew feelings were just a distraction to what love is. I think as sons and daughters, sometimes we just think a little too small. And we limit God because we can only see what's really in front of us and what's in our immediate future. God is always wanting to move in our lives. We shouldn't try to really talk him out of it. You know, I just invite him in and live a life full of expectation. Like the same expectation in Jeremiah 29:11, both, you know, God's expectation on us and our expectation that he's already fulfilled it and given us the power to walk through it. In the Old Testament, they used to build tabernacles, and in Hebrew, the word tabernacle means dwelling place. It's always been God's desire to dwell with us. There were thousands of years where we fought against it, but now Jesus has sacrificed himself to make us the dwelling place. He sacrificed himself so that the Spirit of living God lives in us with no limits. We have the Holy Spirit wherever we go to ask all things. He's a comforter. He reveals God's wisdom. He gives us the words to speak when we need them most. He's a helper to teach us and remind us of God's word. I think we have everything that we need to accomplish what God has for our lives already waiting for us. And I'm just going to close with this. Hebrews 13:8. Says Jesus Christ is eternally changeless, always the same yesterday and today and forever. If he's willing to do all these amazing things that we read in the Bible, all these wonderful testimonies in the lives of these people, you just imagine what he's willing to do for us. Imagine the depths that he's willing to go to shape our present and shape our future.
This is so funny, you're preaching on this. I was doubting myself, you know. Lord, am I doing any good for people? A young lady comes to my house, and she sits down. And she always needed me to talk to her. Family's up in Pittsburgh, but she needed me to talk to them. You know, leave everything out. And I always used to say, you got to give it to God.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give it to God.
Amen.
And I was doubting myself. Here she comes and she says, "Jean, if it wasn't for you, telling me and telling me and telling me just to give it to God." And she said, "That's what I'm doing now." And then I had another young lady. She's going through a lot. And here she comes and she says something to me. Now I'm doubting myself if I'm reaching anybody. So here I get two young ladies. And then my daughter put something on Facebook about my mother. What a wonderful mother she was, because she taught us to love everybody, no matter who they were, rich, poor, ugly, whatever. There's always good in everybody, you know? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it just lifted my spirits.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, because I needed it.
Good. Sure. I did, too.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed preparing for this and just the different things that... Mm-hmm. And show a little long-winded with some of the things, but just the encouragement that no matter what we're going through, we can go here.
Yes, yes. And we can reach people by what you say.
Something is going to just jump out and just wreck us. Because, you know, we might be all smiles and everything like this, but when we get back and we get into our quiet place, we'll probably just cry like babies because we're just so... amazed and in awe by what he does.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
So, Father, I just thank you. I thank you for just wanting to pour all of you into all of us. Father, I just ask that you open our hearts so we can just receive things that you want to give to us, whether no matter how big or how small, Lord, because we just want to run with you. We just want to be a part of everything that you are. Everything that you're doing. So we just want to see you on this earth more and more and more. We thank you, we honor you, and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Have a nice week.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm taking away, I'm taking away right here. I'm taking away in the valley of my wheel.